This is Insightful Info. Subjects relating to self-improvement. Thank you for listening. This podcast has been reproduced from a Periscope broadcast. Hello, how are we doing today on this beautiful Saturday afternoon? And so my name is Judith Mendoza. I am a behavior consultant and educator. So today I wanted to concentrate on the topic also social well-being, which the topics are about that we ask for our personal selves, but also in community, that we build social well, referring to society. And so today I wanted to concentrate in social well-being, and tomorrow I will be doing the same thing, right? Because I want to cover as much as I can on this subject. And so this relates to communication. And so I provide awareness relating to autism, also education, and also mentoring. And so I am doing this as a volunteer time, volunteering my time, providing this education as volunteering my time. And then also I do provide this as a services through education. And so I thank you for joining me today. And so today I wanted to concentrate on self-confidence, self-esteem when it comes to communication skills, acquiring the communication skills. And this is something that I am doing for those who have autism and who are adults. So diagnosed or undiagnosed. And so when it comes to my business, of course, I provide business education for your employees, and that has to do with ethics in business, principles, guidance, and application of it. And then also I have a customer service principles and application of it. And also this is our language, our courses. And then I have this language course, which is to learn English for those who want to learn English, in Aprenda Inglés Fácil. And this is concentrating in business use, of course, principally. Now, when it comes to the physical activity and nutrition guidance, that is a class that includes guidance in the physical activity, but also the nutrition care guidance. And then I also have the adult and children social communication skills, acquiring these, especially for those with autism and attention deficit disorders. And I also offer the language course, which is for adults and children with Aprenda Inglés. So now to begin, I have the topic, and the topic is going to continue on the importance of I, right? Because autism awareness relates to recognizing what autism is. And I have had the self-test for adults that you could take and find out if you have autism, if you haven't been diagnosed yet. And I will be posting the test onto this recording today. And then also, today I am going to, everything relates to the importance of I, meaning of myself, or when it relates to you, of course, every person relates to self when it relates to the person of I, right? So I want to make sure that that is understood in to make sure that the application of it is being understood, and the reason why is important, right? Principally because as I have named it, the importance of I means the importance of my existence, the importance of me in the world, right? And so all of us humans are important, all of us. And when it comes to our life, human life, it all has the same important value. Now, when it comes to the things that we can achieve with our life, that's what makes the difference in regards to how we're placed in society, in community. But all of our lives as humans, all of our lives have the same importance. When dealing with others, right, we do show the due respect for other humans. For their experience, for whatever they have attained in life, and so we give the due respect to other humans. But that doesn't mean that it makes us less than anyone. So we have to keep that in mind, right? Now, when it comes to having confidence in self, self-confidence, when it comes to believing in ourselves, which is what self-confidence is, right? We have different tendencies relating to this, and most of them have to do with our childhood, how we were brought up, the way that we were raised by our parents. And however we experienced our life, we will either have built self-confidence or not, and we will be seeking for the approval of others, constantly seeking the approval of our parents, the approval of other people in our lives, our friends, at work. And so where the same situation exists, it may be that depending if we have confidence in ourselves or not, we will display certain behaviors and characteristics from our personality And so self-confidence or self-esteem is the state of mind and the feeling of satisfaction in ourselves, in self. And in turn, right, this becomes as a power. The self-confidence becomes as a power that helps us take initiative in doing things. And that helps us excel in our personal abilities. Looking forward to the future with positive energy and better outlook in life. So it isn't that we are not going to have problems and conflicts or difficulties, but because we have a certain level of confidence in self, not overconfidence that to the point that we believe that we can do everything and we don't need anyone else in our life, because then that will be unbalanced and so unhealthy. So we can attain self-confidence, self-esteem. As I mentioned, it can be from our parents, right? When we are, we gain a balanced self-confidence or self-esteem, believing in ourselves, when we are, we go through different circumstances in life. Our parents allow the situation to happen. And even if the outcome is going to be that we fail at what we do, our parents will allow to do this and will allow to try, will allow to try again so that we can learn a skill. And this is one of the things that when it comes to parenting is very difficult for their children. And so I am speaking about when how is one way that we build self-confidence or how it can start. And so we build self-confidence not just because someone is telling us, right, that we're doing good, which is good, because when you have someone cheering for you, you know that someone is there for you. You know that someone is there to back you up, is there if you fail, that person is there, or those people there are there for you. It could be your family members are there for you, and they're cheering for you, and even if you fail, they're telling you, go ahead and try again if you want. So this builds this confidence, right? That even if there is failure. Now, that is self-confidence or self-esteem in general. It could be in a situation where there is a healthy family unit, which is balanced, right? Because it could be also that parents are supposed to protect their children, yes. But when they become overprotective, including at the time where a child is growing, and of course, as the child grows, the child should be learning how to do things for himself, even though he may fail at learning certain skills. He should continue to learn, to try and learn, right? So, but when it comes to this, some parents are overprotective of their children. And so instead of allowing the child to do and to try and to do the best they can do for themselves, allowing their potential to be explored and to be enhanced, parents instead they don't like their child to go through these things or disappointments, and they believe that if they go ahead and do it for them, that they will be helping that child. But instead, they are doing harm to the child. Because first of all, if someone is trying, we all have gone through that. So if someone is trying and they find themselves that someone comes and say, you know what, let me do it for you, then the child will believe, I cannot do it. I need to have help in order for me to do this. And so that child may not try. And especially those who have cognitive difficulties, right? So that this is one of the reasons why also understanding autism, what autism is, what autism is not, is important. Or any other neurological condition, for example, attention deficit disorders also. So we have to, that is a general explanation in regards to what self-confidence is and how it will happen in a natural way, which it begins with our parents. It begins with our parents showing us balance, showing us a healthy way to have confidence in self, right? Not overconfidence, that we imagine that we can do things as if we were some superhero, and then we realize that when we are confronted with certain things that we need to do, we're not superheroes. We don't have superpowers. And then we may become depressed, we may become feeling as failures, feeling as we shouldn't be trying, and instead of building self-esteem, it's going to build lack of self-esteem. And so, what if the situation is that you have been raised in a place where your parents did not have self-esteem? So they were not balanced. You constantly had to find yourself proving yourself to your parents and never being enough, because this situation can happen. I have had situations where young ones are also trying to compete with their siblings for their parents' attention. And it can seem, and sometimes it is, that one child is appreciated more than the other. And this is something that can happen for different reasons. Maybe one child is better manageable than the other. So the one who has more difficulty adapting to circumstances or has more of emotional difficulties, maybe that child will have, as he already has, that child having more difficulty with emotions, handling the emotions and handling circumstances and situations that may happen at home with their parents, but also taking into consideration that parents also may be going through the same motions and emotions that the child is going through. And and that person haven't found the way to self-confidence, to self-esteem. And that person, that human has become a parent now, maybe having children, different ages. And so because that person hasn't learned yet in regards to their own selves, having value in themselves. And usually what happens when we lack self-confidence and self-esteem is that we can easily find ourselves depressed because of it. Even having suicidal thoughts at times. And this is especially true if the person has deficiencies of essential and vital vitamins, as I have mentioned before, but also with nutrition. Basically, if one is depressed, one is going to feel all sorts of different conditions that are in the mind, because that is the only place where we are processing our thoughts in the mind. That's where these things happen. So we may feel, right? We have deficiencies in our body. And I mentioned this because it has to do with our mental well-being and our physical well-being. So we have our mental capabilities, they get distorted because of our physical instability. And sometimes we don't put one with the other. And that is because we lack the understanding of how our body functions first, and then how our body is made. And then how the nutrition, the food that we put in our body, it has a connection with our function, with how our organs inside of our body are going to function. It is very important, because sometimes it can be that that we lack confidence, that we feel nervous, and you're doing all that you can for you to feel different. You're following all these advice that are given by experts in regards to the good counsel, in regards to how to do things, but you find yourself still becoming nervous when you're in front of someone. You feel still unable to feel completely assured of yourself that you can do what you want to do. And the reason for that is that it doesn't matter what you do. You can practice a lot, you can memorize how you're going to say things, you can read all the books, self-help books that you want to help yourself with. But if you have deficiencies in your body that are not, that you're not balancing out, the older that you get, the worse the situation is going to get, because the more your body organs are going to malfunction. So you can read all these things and you can do whatever you feel is going to fill in that void that you feel that you need. Sometimes people spend many years in school in order for them to prove to either their parents or their teachers or their friends or to themselves, or to whomever, that they can do this. But sometimes that's not enough. Then even though you have gotten this far and you have gotten whatever you believed that will prove to others, to your parents, that you're not what they thought of you, right? And this is the time when we start proving to ourselves and others, and we do and more, and we try to be more perfect, more perfect, more learning, more and more and more, and this more is never enough. And so, as I mentioned, that void might be your own deficiency of your own body. And so it doesn't matter what you do, if you don't take care of that deficiency, your body is going to be deficient. Your nervous system is not going, because this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix our brain by all of these things that we know and that we can talk about with others with ease, or that we can belong in certain groups with others because now we can, because we have titles and we have academia. And so we can feel now that we can just walk into places and then belong. But then we find out that others are higher than we are, and maybe they have groups where we don't belong anyway. So then you're still going to feel it in the same way, in the same place, that you're in this level, but then you find yourself that there's other level. And so the best thing is, when it comes to self-esteem, is to take care first of our health. Our nervous system doesn't care how much we know. Our nervous system, if it's not working properly, it doesn't matter how much schooling you have, you still will find yourself and your nervous system reacting and acting in a way that throws you out. And sometimes, as it is for those who have autism, it can be that you're not able to function the way that you want to function. And I know how it is. I know this personally. These things that I am telling you, I know them personally, not because I have autism, but because I also have a nervous system. I take care of my body. I collect data from my own experiences, my own body. I know that there are many studies out there that tells you how this and that and how many 100 and 1,000 and 10,000 people felt. And what I do is not compare them to me, but I compare what my symptoms are to whatever these other people are feeling, and then come up to conclusions, because I matter, right? And that is what I want to bring out. We're used to doing it some other way. I want you to do it the way from your viewpoint, from stemming from the person of I. Because sometimes we can have certain ideas, right? For example, this thing with self-esteem. It has much to do with what others think of us. It has much to do with what others think of the person of I. So then it will have to do much with accepting I as I am. That will mean that I have to self-examine myself. Who is Judith? I have to know that first, so that when someone points out something to me, it's not a surprise. It's not going to be a surprise because I know this is I. And if someone points, hey, look, Judith, you do this and this and this and whatever, I'll say yes. Yes, I know. I'm working on that. Or yes, I know this is something that I know about myself. When someone points something out, right, to us, we are immediately. It's like we going on to the attack because someone point out something. And why do we do that? It is like we're defending something, and it's like someone surprises with this thing. And it is as if we didn't know that this was something in us, a thing, right? Remember that we all have difficulties with something. We're not experts at everything. The moment that we believe that we are experts at everything, then what happens is that we're overconfident. And then when a situation comes that we have to prove our skills, we can't. And so we make fools of ourselves. And of course, that doesn't build self-esteem, does it? It does. It does not. And so now, there are certain aspects that we can replace, and we can believe, you know, this is self-esteem, right? I mentioned that we can go to school and have so much schooling and become accredited by others and become accepted by others and accepted in their groups, and now we become part of certain labels, right? Becoming educated in certain areas, and we're proud of that, and we should be proud of these things. There's nothing wrong with that, but it shouldn't be the only thing that accounts for our self-esteem, right? So when it comes to boosting self-esteem, some do this by their accomplishments in life, only by what their accomplishments in life are. So it could be that because of material possessions, right? It could be because of friendships they have been able to make with those in society who are well-known, who are popular. It could be because of business connections that one may have. And then also, it could be because of educational degrees. And then others confide in their physical beauty or their appearance, their physical appearance, their physical beauty. And so they spend much time on that, and they only concentrate on that. And so then also put their self-esteem on their jobs, their positions, or the salary that they're making. So and then others only go with what others think of them, right? So if others are liking me, then you feel confident because they're liking you, and you have this great multitude of people following you and telling you how beautiful you are, or how this and that you are, and these kind of boost your self-esteem, right? But it might be something that you don't believe in yourself to be. So then, that is how some have been able to build their self-esteem. But what happens if these things go away? For whatever reason, right? Beauty can go away. Then also, in this year alone, 2020, we have seen that a lot of things have changed. And we also have experienced what those in the autism spectrum disorder usually go through, right? Because we have heard that those in the spectrum disorder, autism spectrum disorder, they tend to cling, to attach them. And so it can help us understand. I bring, as I mentioned, awareness in regards to autism, but not just to tell you that there are those with autism in our communities, but also I bring education in regards to telling you what autism is and how autism affects those who have it, those who were born with autism, because those with autism are born with autism. Autism is not something that you later on get somehow. No, you're born with autism. The person who has autism is born with autism. And then depending on the health of the person, depending on the care, the nutrition, caring, and how that person cares for himself or herself, that will depend what conditions and illnesses this person will experience later on in their life. And so one of the things, and this thing about self-confidence, of course, the word itself means self-confidence or myself. I know some self-confidence anymore, because self-confidence, I keep making it. And so taking this in mind, being conscious of self, right? Conscious of self will mean another thing that has to do with self-confidence, which self pertains to self, to myself, to my body, to my existence. So then there comes the importance of the component of self-concept. And this is something that psychologist Morris Rosenberg has spoken about, right? This self-concept has to do with self-esteem, with self-regard. And so having a balanced view of self-concept, it's something that we have to create in our mind. I control my thoughts. I, Judith, control what my thoughts are. I, Judith, is able to take in information. I process my information. I have different views. I think about what I'm going to say. As today, I have written an article, which I will also post to this recording in regards to self-esteem. And I ask someone else, using a pattern, yes, because we all have to reflect to a pattern, but I reflect to me and what I know. I search in my bank of information that I have inside of my brain. And as we have to do, as I mentioned, the learning of communication starts at a young age. For those who are adults, having autism, being verbal, and having learned to communicate through the patterns of others, when it comes to self-esteem, you have to understand that if someone fails to understand what you're saying, or mistaken. For example, maybe you're not able to tell because you have autism, you're an adult, you have autism, and you're unable to tell the tone of the voice of the person. You're unable to tell by the face of the person that if the person is upset or is happy because you have autism and the connections in your brain are not making that, perceiving that information. So you're blind to that. But then someone comes in or you hear, right, that if someone looks this way or if someone sounds this way, maybe that's someone with a weak personality or easy to maneuver, right? I have a saying that says, I have heard the saying, I don't remember who said it, but I have heard a saying, I don't know if it is a proverb, but I have heard that it says that someone who thinks that someone else is stupid, they are stupid themselves. And the reason for that is that sometimes we can make assumptions in regards to some human, to a human, because maybe he sounds like he speaks soft and, you know, like he's putting out the words out there slowly and soft-spoken, and then he have the face like, you know, like maybe we think that that is a weakling. And maybe I have imagined that that person who I believe is a weakling, I can just take advantage of him. And that was my opinion. That was my presumption, my assumption in regards to that human being. But in reality, that is not the way that he is or that she is. It wasn't what I thought. And so, as I mentioned before, there are a lot of factors in regards to communication. Having self-esteem is one, but when it comes to those with autism, it's more than self-esteem. Self-esteem has to do with a lot of factors that have to do with, that will be used in communication. And in order for you, if you have autism, to learn how to communicate, how to express yourself from yourself, not as someone else, right? So the goal is that when we talk to others, because you can practice all you want, but when it comes to that, you're going to use the skill of communication, that you are going to commence to begin a conversation with another human, the factor of listening, self-confidence have to do with myself and what I'm going to say. And for that we need to know the information that we need to know. We need to understand the information that we need to understand. We need to prepare for that, right? So self-confidence have to do with that. For you, if you will have difficulty understanding figurative language, don't waste your time on understanding what figurative language is. If you concentrate on just that, then you're not going to be able to communicate the way that you should be doing. And instead, you may run to the using of patterns of other humans and then repeating words and expressions of other humans, that instead of having a conversation, you may be replicating a conflicted conversation, an argument of someone, or inappropriate speech. It could be also that whatever it was said by whoever said it, that could be something that may have been a joke, may have been said as a sarcasm, may have been something that was figurative, or it might be something that was an assumption of something and not really proven to be true. So if you speak it, if you say it, if you repeat it, if you're just repeating words without using your thinking ability in regards to, wait a minute, what is this person saying? And you're just repeating it. Then you are going to seem to be, if you're repeating conflicts and problems, then you're going to look as a conflicted and problematic person. And so that person that you're imitating is a conflicted and problematic person, and you are another human who is conflicted and problematic person, just as this person is. And so because we tend to see each person as an individual, we don't, for the most part, right? When I say I'm referring to myself. I'm referring to what I think, what I believe, my opinion, the opinion of Judith, which is all the time that I speak is in my opinion. I'm not speaking in the opinion of anyone, because everyone has their opinion. I have to have my own. So then it is important for one to develop a sense of identity. My identity goes along with not with another identity pattern, but with everything that makes me the person of I. It starts with my documentation, my birth certificate. My birth certificate says my father is so-and-so, my father is Leonardo Mendoza, my mother is Gladys Mendoza, well, she's not no more Mendoza, but used to be Mendoza, right? They were married. So that is my family members, right? And then my name. And I am not using any patterns of identities other than myself. So if I am the one who's able to read with my eyes and I learn how to read, and I learned how to read very young, at a very young age. By the time that I started school, I already know how to read and write and multiply and do calculations. And so I can say that about myself. That's my story. That's my life history. That is something, a factor about me. If you have autism and you're using patterns of identity and are used to saying, I did this, but you're referring to that pattern of identity that is a male or female, it could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be your grandmother, it could be your siblings. Your patterns of identity are not the ones who are doing what your body is doing. So that is something to have understanding about and ask yourself, why am I using patterns of identity? And not just the one that is the person of I. So I can say the things that I could do, right? I learned when I was, I can go back in history, my history, that refers to me, meaning that I am building a pattern for me. And whenever I need to correct something from me, right, then I go to that pattern of myself and I correct whatever I need to correct about myself. And so that is the process that we all should go through. But those in the autism spectrum disorder, you know that that is not the way for you. Understanding that fact then should clearly alert you that the importance of I, of the importance of I, the importance of developing an identity. And then the difficulty for that has been the difficulty in communication. And so this is why I am having these sessions, so that you can have an awareness of what autism is, how autism is affecting you. You can meditate. And that means that you can take your thoughts and you can say, well, you know, who is I? Because if your hands are doing the things, if your body is doing whatever, if your eyes are watching whatever, your ears are hearing whatever, it is you, the person who's doing it, not your identity. Because usually I know that those with autism learn according to what their identity is, and they attach whatever they are learning to each identity. So then they behave, those with autism, they behaved, and they start at a very young age, and that is the reason why it is believed that there is a gender in problem, but there is, right? So those with autism are believing, okay, this identity pattern knows how to do this and this and this. And if this identity is not doing whatever anymore, then they stop. But why should it be? It should be that if, for example, me, when I learn something, when I learn how to read and write, I didn't stop. Because my eyes know how to read. My brain can capture that information. It is my brain that knows it. My brain is part of my body. My brain is I. My brain is I. Not my body parts are part of my body, but my brain is I. My knowledge, my information is what is I. When whatever I have learned throughout my life. When I learned how to drive, when I was 9 years of age, that my father taught me how to drive, I learned that skill. And that is part of something that Judith, that I know how to do. I didn't forget to do it. I didn't learn it on a sub-identity of mine. I learn it as a skill that I can do using my brain to know the information in regards to what side I should be of the street, how I should have the steering wheel in order for me to drive in a straight way, for me to turn if I need to turn, for me to back up if I need to back up, using the mirror. So everything is a skill that I'm learning to be the same way. So whatever patterns of identity you are using when it comes to it, and you're having difficulty because of it, you are going to have difficulty because of it. Then the process should be that one develops an identity. Our name has to do with our identity. So when someone, I mentioned that my name is called, like when I was in school, our name has to do with referred to me. Every time the word I is spoken, is referring to the person of the one who is saying it. I'm saying I. When I refer to I, it means my body, myself, my existence, Judith. And so when we go to the doctor, when anywhere that we use our names are an identifier. Just like how we can have physical identifiers. For example, I have this that is a mark on my skin, right? Not a lot of people have this mark. And so we are unique when it comes to our bodies. All of us are unique. So then that uniqueness has to be reflected in our identity and what we do. So then when it comes to those with autism, it has to do even more, as I mentioned, even more of having self-esteem. It's dealing more with, and of course, yes, it has to do with self-confidence and self-esteem, but it has to do in a different way. And that is what I mean, because having an identity is first in order for us to have self-esteem. Self-esteem is as regards to myself and what I can do and what I cannot do. And having understanding of accepting myself, self down, not mistreating myself. Sometimes we may do that also. And so avoiding doing that. And then knowing the way that I learn. If I for myself, right? I do not have autism, but I do have certain ways that I can learn for myself. There are different things that make me remember information better than other strategies or practices. I can understand figurative language. And I can understand literal language. I can understand when something is literal and when something is figurative. I can understand when something is a joke, and I can understand when something is sarcasm. So I can understand between those. And because I can understand within those, I can perceive someone's intentions. I can also tell when someone is expressing in their face if they have doubts, if they are confused, if they are happy, or if they are angry. I can see that reflected in the face. I can also understand body language, body posture. And all of these are different things that reveal a person. Those who have autism have difficulty understanding all of these, except seeing things in a literal way. And that is fine, but if you do not understand something, if something is not making, it's not logical to you, you don't understand it, then learn how to say, I didn't understand what you said. And when you say that to someone, I don't understand what you're saying, I have learned to say that. And the reason why I have learned to say that when to someone, and we may be thinking, well, you know, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to offend the person. Then that person, that human, see things. We can see information, and I can see it in a different way because I am who I am. I am Judith, and that person is whoever he or she is. That person may be able to see information in a different way that I'm seeing it. So if I don't understand the way that person sees it, why would I pretend to know if I don't know? That will be the beginning of miscommunication. And so then if my communication after, this is after, of course, after you have taken care of your deficiencies, which I have mentioned that for my classes and my courses, I require that the person have their deficiencies taken care of. That means taking the vitamin B12, taking the vitamin D3, taking vitamin C, which help with blood disorders. Blood is oxygen to our body, including our brain, for our brain function, for our thinking. There are other vitamins, but vitamin B12, vitamin D3, vitamin C, which help with the maintaining the blood inside the body working properly. The body oxygen is the blood. So taking care of these, right? Of course, I also know that omega-3 helps when it comes to our brain. All of these help with our brain. Vitamin E helps with the nervous system, and then also magnesium. That's what I was thinking about. Magnesium, taking it at night, because it will help you go to sleep, which is something that we need in the body. You see that some people, they go to sleep soundly at night because their magnesium levels are okay inside their body. If your nervous system is always without you doing it, it's moving by itself, then you're lacking magnesium, or you have too much calcium, which it could be that you're lacking magnesium, you're lacking vitamin D3. Magnesium activates vitamin D3, and this will make that your nervous system go off. So having that under care, you have that under care, you're taking your vitamin D12, B12, your B12, your vitamin D3, your magnesium at night, at least having those, right? Then you can say, you know, I really have difficulty, because you have done all that you can do for yourself, for your self-care, for your nutrition. And you can say, well, you know, I am, my deficiencies are taken care of, but I'm still having difficulty with my nervous system. It isn't that your nervous system is just going to go to sleep and never function again. No, you're going to become stable. Of course, if there are circumstances that make you feel nervous, naturally, the response of your organs inside of your body are going to function, and you are going to feel nervous, anxious about a situation. And so it's using your environment in order for you to communicate. Are you using your clothing, your colors, the colors that you're using? Are you using this in order for you to communicate? Because it might be that for you, it might be communication, but for those who are looking at you, it is not communication. Yes, I have spoken in regards to our clothing you're giving out. You're not giving out a speech. You're not giving out a conversation. Yes, a conversation may be started because of it, but you have your own, right? I like it, I wear it. My earrings is the same way, the same thing. Some of them I bought, some of them they given to me. Some of them I have for years, even since I was in high school, I have some things because I take care of them. I'm 46 years old, of age. I'm trying not to say old. So I'm 46 years of age, right? So my clothing, I don't speak through my clothes. I speak through my mouth. Whatever I say through my mouth is because it's in my mind. And that's the way it is. The pattern of identity that I use for me is myself, right? When I see in the mirror, I see myself. I reflect myself. So if I am going to practice and say, well, which is something that I have never done, but it is an exercise that sometimes, in order for you to build confidence and to know what you're going to say and to see how you're going to look when you're saying it, there are professionals that counsel that one look in the mirror. So I will look myself in the mirror and I will say my speech in front of the mirror in order for me to hear myself, how I sound, right? With what I'm saying, with my words. So I'm always reflecting to I and what I'm saying. So I'm listening to what I'm saying with my mouth and seeing what it sounds like. And sometimes we can do this practice also. Let's say, for example, you're going to have a presentation or you're going to speak to someone about a situation. What I have done, what I recommend also is talk to your friend about it. Bring out the subject and see what it sounds like, what you sound like, right? Because we are saying things that matter, so we should also be paying attention to what we're saying, because others will be judging me for what I say. And so the professionals have said, okay, you know, you look in the mirror and you do your presentation. And for example, if you're going to go to your job interview, right? And they ask, and this is something that I'm going to be talking about later on in extended, as an extended topic. in a session. And so, for example, they say that if you are going to an interview, that you prepare mentally by looking in the mirror, and then you do your presentation, how you're going to maybe shake the hand of the person once you are in front of the person, and you prepare what you're going to say, what they may ask you. Not literally what they will ask you, because when you are in person talking with a person, you can think for others. You cannot think for others. We can imagine that someone will say this and that, and then have a response if they say this and that, but not necessarily that we're going to go by as a script and thinking that someone is going to say that, and then we're going to stick to a script instead of listening to what someone is saying, right? So what we have to do, which it'll be tomorrow, is to learn how to listen to others, right? So, for example, then you do your preparation that you're going to have that job interview, and they're going to ask you, which is something that I'm going to be talking about, that they're ask, tell me about yourself. This is a common question, right? If you are a young person going through this, it might be challenging. But what is the situation? And this is something that will always apply, right? Are you talking with a friend? No, you are a job interview. So everything that you speak about will be regarding your skills and the job at the company that you want. So when someone asks you, tell me about yourself, you're not on a date with someone, meeting that person for the first time, or someone that you just met in a personal level. You're there for a job interview. So when they ask you, or they tell you, tell me about yourself, they are asking you, tell me about your skills. Tell me, of course, they should word it that way, right? And so, one question will be, if you don't know what they're asking is, what would you like to know? Right? If you're having difficulty, remember, questions are always going to be the next thing that you want to do in a conversation. And when you don't know, when you don't understand, and of course, at a job interview, you don't want to know as if you don't know, right? Because, of course, you're looking for a job, and depending on what the job is, we have to demonstrate such skills. But if someone asks you, for example, as I mentioned, tell me about yourself, we know that the environment is in regards to a job interview. You're looking for a job. Everything that you're going to speak about will be job related, or about the job or the skills that are required in that job. So every environment will be, that will be what the conversation will be about, what the communication will be about. So it wouldn't be in a personal level. So to me, if I don't understand what the person is asking, then I will say, what would you like to know? And then the person can then add a little bit more. Then they will say, well, you know, tell me, what did you do in your last job? Or tell me how you handled the situation that dealt with a customer. That will be more specific. And of course, when it comes to autism awareness, this is something that has to be implemented in the company for managers, for supervisors, for them to have better understanding. And this is something that I want to, this is one of my goals, that those in the type of positions that are superior to others, that are bringing in workers to the workforce, that they become more conscious of the need for better communication, because it is not difficult. It is not difficult for us to do that. We don't have to be speaking in figurative language, and whatever cannot be understood figuratively can be explained in a way that can be understood. And I believe that if we had better communication, all of us will have better discernment and understanding of information, instead of just trying to guess what someone is trying to say, and also expecting that others are just trying to guess what we're trying to say, because it can be that way. And what that does is just to make confusion. And also, of course, it's miscommunication. And so the goal should be that we humans have better relations, and so therefore a better social communities, better societies, well-being, social well-being, right? And so self-esteem, self-confidence is a belief or trust, faith, and confidence in myself, in what I can do, not in comparison with what others can do. If others can do more or better, good for them. Good. I will make my efforts to be for what I can do. So I will be happy for those that can do much more or better. And I will continue to become happy with what I can do. Not putting myself down because I cannot be like someone else. No, we have to start learning that we make ourselves better by saying, well, you know, I got to this point. Let me see if I can get to the next level. And so there's not going to be any competition with someone else, which it shouldn't be. We are all unique individuals. Being balanced, of course, meaning it means that I will stay close to reality also. And so not becoming unrealistic when it comes to being overconfident, egotistic, which it can be due to a sense of self-importance, but then a situation or circumstance come in all of these that I believe comes down because it is built on something that is either in my imagination only, or because of being overconfident or even egotistic. So having the correct mental attitude is important. Yes, we want to believe in ourselves. We want to like ourselves, accept ourselves. And then also learn the way that I learn. What is it? How I learn? Take note of that. Collect your own data in regards to yourself. List the things that you can do, your skills. And see what skills you would like to learn. And when it comes to communication, know how you function in order for you to attain skills for yourself. Not to become someone else, but as the person that I am, or the person that you are, to become what you want to become, right? So it is not to become a known autistic individual. if you have autism, you have autism. So the goal shouldn't be to look, the goal shouldn't be to look non-autistic. The goal should be to learn how to learn the way that you can learn being or having autism, right? And so it will take time, it will take some effort, yes, but it will be all worth it. And so next week, I will be considering the, not next week, tomorrow, Sunday, I will be considering the part where we can develop our skills of listening and what listening involves, because it's not just your ear function. It's more than that. Listening is more than just hearing sound, hearing words spoken by others. All right, so my name is Judith Mendoza. I am a behavior consultant and educator. And I am now volunteering my time providing education, bringing awareness, autism awareness, so that you can know, others can know what autism is. I am letting my information be known, my research that I have done in regards to autism and what I have learned in these years that I have been specifically studying autism spectrum disorder. And so I thank you for joining me today. Tomorrow I will be speaking about the next subject, which is acquiring the listening skills. All right, so have a beautiful day today.
This has been Insightful Info with Judith Mendoza.